Hello, friends. Episode 8 is coming at you. You've got hosts Kyle Jones and Alex Beaverson, joined by one of Superstition's golf professionals, Anthony Steak Rodriguez. Today, we're going to talk about developing leaders and one of that being one of the main indicators of the success of a business. We'll talk about the happenings on the PGA and LPGA tour, and we'll wrap up with our hot find of the week. To start things off, we're going to talk about something that's been quite important to Alex and I both as leaders, and that's being aware of the goals, desires, and ultimately the expiration date of the tenure of our employees. It's important to us as leaders that we recognize that financial success is not the only indicator of a business's health or the level of success that it's achieving. We're going to be chatting with our beloved Anthony Steak Rodriguez, tournament coordinator, pro shop manager, someone who's made an unbelievable impact on our team in our little golf community here at Superstition. And we're celebrating his departure. He's going to be moving on to another golf course in Arcus Golf. And that is something that you and I don't take lightly.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, right? Financial success is something that, as individuals who receive a paycheck, we owe that to our bosses.
Yeah, it's kind of step one in ensuring that you're creating a quality company. Create a product that sells. And in this case, the product is golf, right? I mean, the product is Arcus Golf, and our ownership has provided us an opportunity to work at a thriving facility that, you know, you and I get to manage the financial stability and success of. And it's there's a lot of decision making that goes into that I think is kind of step one in viability of a company, right? This makes a lot of sense. Most people get this. I think step two, a lot of companies don't get to, which is, hey, let's not just make a bunch of money, but let's actually impact people with the money we're making, namely the people that work at our organization. Not necessarily through monetary, like just give everyone raises. That's not what we mean, but we mean like develop them into people that impact other people.
That's so well said, right? You and I are so honored and privileged to call ourselves general manager and assistant general manager for a golf course owned and operated by Arcus Golf.
Yeah.
Arcus and our CEO, Blake Walker, there's a group of incredible people with incredible products and incredible services that have taught us great things, right? There's a lot of decisions being made that drive financial success.
Yeah.
And we are so honored and pleased to be a part of that, right? Yes, we owe our leadership, we owe our community to obsess over our operation, mm-hmm. our procedures, our strategies to ensure that there's financial success. But I think you said it earlier, that's step one.
Yeah.
Right? Step one is, hey, let's create a business. This is what we're going to do, and this is the success that we anticipate having. But this is what we want to do with that success,
yeah.
right? So once we have that success, once our business is financially stable, then you get the opportunity to look at yourself, analyze your business as a whole and everyone as an individual.
Yeah.
And right now we're taking the opportunity to, you know, celebrate that, hey, when you look at everyone as an individual, bring them in and chat with them about their expiration date, what they're looking for, and how you and I can be a part of getting them closer to their goals, right? Because everyone who chooses to work for a leader can be caught up in the operational solution,
yeah.
right? Serving the customer, providing a service day in and day out. That is absolutely part of creating an identity.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's our duty to help those individuals learn, take their passions, their desire, and their vision, and take that into a future role where they can impact people and ultimately a community.
Yeah, it's I think we could get into the tangibles of like, okay, we talk a lot about how we manage the golf course, how you manage the golf course, how you help us lead this facility into financial success. All of this is really good conversation. But, you know, over the course of time throughout this podcast, we're also going to be talking about the tangibles and how we lead people, the vibe that people get when they come here, how, you know, Anthony, who's sitting in the room, what he experiences at our course. And, as we transition into talking about Anthony now going to be an AGM at another course, a lot of developing people does come from them being passionate about their own life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Something that is an intangible thing. We can't bring passion. We can't bring vision into people. They have to bring that to the table. And with that, the leadership should be able to help develop them, to help them develop in, bring that vision into fruition virtually. And I think, Anthony, you're a really good example of that, man, because you, I remember sitting with you at an Arcus Golf job fair, and I immediately came back and I said, Kyle, we got to get this guy, because you were bouncing around at different clubs going, hey, can I work here? Hey, I want to work at this one. I want to work at this one. What at least I saw in you, man, was a general passion for the game of golf and for your life. That is an intangible, that's not something you can teach, but you brought that to the table. And I think that allowed for you to come into this place, ask questions, develop yourself, and allow for us to virtually nudge you in directions that you were already going. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so true. I want to repeat what he said. I can vividly remember him coming back and talking about this fantastic individual that he had met with, and I trust his decision. So I was able to say yes right away. And in meeting you the first time, I want to repeat every word he just said, man. I mean, you came in and you were able to make a massive impact as a human being, and also as a golf professional. So you did a fantastic job with that, right? We talk a lot about the success of our business, right? I think what we just talked about was the idea that financial success is a indicator to the success of a business, but developing leaders who move to impact people and communities is a much greater indicator for the success of a business, at least in how it's impacting the community in over time. You're moving from golf professional role where you're customer facing just about every single day, right? You're getting people out for a round of golf, and you are the sole reason why they have a smile on their face. And you've done an amazing job of doing that. And now, assistant general manager, the operational solution is sometimes seen as a hamster wheel, right? Just running around day after day. You're getting the opportunity to take a step out of that a little bit as an assistant general manager and start putting the colors on a blank canvas that is creating the identity of a facility or a team led by Anthony Rodriguez. So I'm so curious, you know, what are some things that you want people to think of when they think of a facility that's ran by yourself?
Honestly, the big thing for me, it sounds cheesy, is get that family feeling. Mm-hmm. Get everyone feeling like we're all part of one team, yeah. One big unit. We're all here to actually just be a part of something. Golfers come and going. Golfers are going to keep coming. Golfers, you know, they're here to golf. But puts what I would like our golf course to be, you know, to envision is make everyone happy. Like you said, I deal with, you know, face-to-face customers now. There was a customer, he said, hey, I just built my house. He's an older gentleman, but he goes, hey, I'm going to have a housewarming party. I'd love for you to come by. Hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, big barbecue. He's like, oh, no, just my friends, four or five. And you and your girlfriend come by. And I was like, that was heartwarming. Like, this guy is telling me to come bring someone, you know, from my personal life. Come, you know, because he goes, hey, I see you as a friend. And it really touched me. I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I just see you for 5 minutes. And it's only two or three times a week. But it's that was heartwarming. To get that feeling was so rewarding. Because it's like, we talk about, you know, sometimes we do get deep. I mean, it's a 5-7 minute conversation, but it gets deep. And if I could get that feeling, have those the teammates that you know that are, would be with working with me over at Coco Pelli, to get that feeling, to get that attachment to the golfers, to get you're going to see the same people. It's just reality of fact. And to get that passion, not everyone has it, and it's fine. You know, some people are good about being good, stern, and just, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm good at my job. Let them be. I really take, to me, the person-to-person interaction is what I love, and I, that's why I don't leave golf. I mean, I love, it's golfers, and I'm a golfer, so it's like, hey, we're the same person. But the good thing about public golf, though, is that everyone's coming to play golf. After 2020, goodness, everyone's golfing right now. And it's really cool to see every person from all kinds of backgrounds, every kind of everything is just golfing right now. And especially in Arizona, goodness, I've only been here 7 months and it's everyone golfs. And you have the rec guys, you have the weekend warriors, you got them all. Everyone's coming out and playing golf. So to answer your question, though, I just want people to have passion for whatever they want to do. And if you don't want to stay in golf, cool. How do we get you to your next stop? But also be happy while you're here. Be happy that we're all together. Because in reality, though, we're spending a lot of time with each other. You know, no one wants to come to work and be miserable. I mean, for me, again, I'm a golfer. I like being on a golf course. I'm on a golf course, you know, 50 hours a week. I choose that. Yeah, I could go leave golf, but why would I? I want to be here. I want to go to another golf course. So just follow your passion, honestly. If it's golf, let's talk about it. If it's not golf, hey, that's cool. What else do you like? You know, yeah. Just to feel a unity, though, is a big thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, you're speaking my language for sure. You know, I'm so happy to, you know, hear that you are going to go to a facility where what you're looking for is absolutely going to come to life. You know, I did have the pleasure of being the general manager for Coco Pelli a little over a year and a half. And what you just described, this environment where everybody plays golf, that's Coco. Coco is accessible to everybody. So you're going to have a phenomenal opportunity there to meet people face to face where they're at in so many different ways. So you know, kudos to you. And I applaud you for having that vision, you know, being mindful that, when we arrive to work, it's an actual environment, right? I mean, there is almost a palpable feeling or a palpable result, for how your employees are going to react when they get in that environment. You know, I almost think of it as like the temperature of a pool water. Right. And us as all the managers, the decisions that we make, the culture that we build, the unity that we celebrate within our team, that's what's creating how comfortable that temperature is and whether or not other people want to jump in or not. Right. So, yeah, man, I know you go over there tomorrow, but your head is in the right place and. If you have any questions, man, ask away. But gosh, yeah. I think you're already 10 steps ahead of where I was when I was you. I mean, you are well aware that you're stepping into a place where the decisions that you make have an intrinsic, palpable feel for the people and customers that are going to be a part of your golf course. Kudos, man. That's very wise.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like what you said regarding how many people play golf, how they interest you. Golf is about people, you know what I'm saying? People really love sports because of the camaraderie that you're around, you know? And that I think that's really why people love golf, especially, like you said, public golf in Arizona. Everybody plays, and you had somebody invite you from here to go to their housewarming party. I mean, that's a between the swings moment, right? That's like this, the impact we can have on people goes far beyond the game of golf. And I remember when you got the call from the GM at Coco Pelli. And it was a between the swings moment for me because you were like on. I mean, it was a moment for you to say, "Man, this is a big moment for me."
Yeah, I dropped on my knees and he's like, "You all right?" I'm like, "No, dude, this is happening.
It's happening." Yeah.
Tell us what that meant to you.
It was everything. I've put a lot of time and effort in not just golf, but in my career. You know, I wasn't too sure what I was going to do in life. I mean, coming out of high school, I was like, oh, shoot, like maybe I'll be a cop. I don't know. I thought that was a good path, law enforcement. Two ACL surgeries later, not going to happen. Just reality of fact, thought maybe I'll sell real estate, you know, Southern California. Let's sell some homes. Let's do this. And started working at a golf course and just fell in love with it. Just absolutely. Like, working a pro shop was, I was the youngest by, I want to say 30 to 40 years. Like, it was older crowd for sure working in the shop. And I came along. One of my best friends, I was the best man at his wedding. He came along. Then my brother followed. And the shop just went from that age group to this age group. And it was awesome. And I felt a passion just being the face of the golf course. When you go into checking the pro shop, I mean, that's the first face. Yes, you see the cart guys a little bit here and there, but knowing that the interaction, you know, your first interaction is the pro shop for the most part, and you feel that welcome or that diswelcome, you know, either one you're going to get. A lot of it is from the pro shop. And when I took pride in, you know, where I was at the time, followed up, you know, kept working. My big thing was just never say no, just say yes. Like, what's you knowing something else? How is that going to hurt you in the long run? Just keep saying yes, keep busting your butt, see what happens. And that's what happened, in this scenario, and had an interview, went very well. I thought, I left there thinking, goodness, this could really happen. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to, you know, when I found out the whole, how does a golf course really work? You know, I didn't grow up in golf. That was the cool part, is that my dad golfed, you know, twice a year. So this whole golf thing was still new to me overall. When I decided to keep going and keep going, you know, I made some sacrifices. I love SoCal. It was a cool place to be. But, you know, I want more opportunities. I want to keep going. So I decided to leave SoCal to go to Tennessee. But I am a big family person, so seeing my parents not too much was not too cool for me. So made a sacrifice, come out to Arizona, found Alex, like my fifth or sixth day here. Met him at the job fair, and that was the coolest thing ever. This guy was just, even golf pro, not this guy. Like, it was just like, this guy works at the golf course? Like, yeah, he's on the AGM. Like, this guy. Like, super, just super laid back, super cool. Just ready, just, hey, man, we could make this work. And I'm like, where is this place, by the way? Like, I just moved here. I don't even know where this is at.
Where am I?
Yeah. I was like, what the heck? He's like, where do you live? I'm like, Baseline. And he's like, did you know Baseline runs for miles? I'm like, no, did not. I'm like, what the heck? And he showed me, this is where I live, this is where I work, or, you know, where I could work. And it was just good vibes all around. I mean, I met him, and he was such a cool dude. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, younger. I had AGMs that are older, and, you know, it's cool, but, you know, this is a different flavor. And I was like, dude, this guy is just super chill, super laid back, super upfront, though. He's like, hey, man, I got to talk to my boss, though. Like, I want you, but, like, I got to talk to my boss and see where this goes. Got a call a week later from Kyle, and everything just flowed. And I was like, dude, this is great. And then when I got that phone call, though, I literally dropped to my knees. I was like, goodness, like, it's happening. We're moving on. We're bigger things are happening now. It's happening. And he looked at me. He's like, you all right? I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, it's happening. He's like, you all right? I'm like, I got the job. He's like, I know. I'm like, dude, what? He's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But it meant a lot, because it was me being happy.
Yeah.
But it was also like, he was genuinely happy for me. And it wasn't like a good job there, go get him. It was like, dude, I knew. Like, it was so sincere. And that's one thing I really do appreciate about working here, was that it was sincere with you guys. Like, hey, you know, Kyle, my first time meeting you, man, you asked me straight up, what do you want to do? And I was like, oof, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And hit me with the, you know, you've almost been in golf for 10 years. And I'm like, oh, I have. You know, golf, you know, you just keep going to work and keep saying hi, keep doing this. But he's like, where do you want to end up? And I was like, I don't know. I want to keep going up, though. That's all I know I want to do. Running tournaments was my background.
Yeah.
I could do that here. And it was super fun. One thing that I do appreciate you guys, though, is that golf has been traditional for years and decades and generations. And it's the way it is, but you guys are stepping outside of that and going, why can't we do this? Why not do this and that? Where, you know, golf has always been X and O's. Hey, tee time this, tee time there, boom, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Where you guys are just, no. Like, why do we have to do the X and O's? Why not? Why don't we try this? I mean, this weekend, we had 7 people teeing off at the same time. That doesn't happen. Seven people on the tee box together, it doesn't happen, let alone hit at the same time. So I really applaud you guys, because you guys step out and you guys embrace that we're not going to do this stuff traditional.
Yeah.
Just run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you identify that when you show up to work every day, the only thing that blocks a thought from becoming an action would be another thought. Right. I think we just talked about this in another episode, one or two episodes ago, where when I mentioned to you that, hey, you've been in the golf industry for 10 years, I think it was just trying to enlighten to you to the power that you possess, you know, what you are able to piece together and what you are able to provide as an output far exceeds what you're used to doing every single day. It just takes, you know, the time to step back, analyze, meditate, and ask yourself how you can do things differently. So you've done a phenomenal job since you've started here. I want to put you on the spot a little bit. I want to ask you if there's anything that you have learned from this facility specifically, what would you like to adopt and mirror from what any occurrence on this team? What's something that's impressed you the most?
One thing that has impressed me is that you guys let us be us, and I really do appreciate that. You know, like I said, golf has been X and O's. You know, you say this or you say this or you do that. You guys embrace, hey, be you. Do your thing. You know, please let them know your tee time was 5 minutes ago. Let's get them going. But also, you know, do your job, but also embrace who you are. You guys, you know, when we have our meetings, it's not, hey, make sure you say this this week to the customers, or, you know, say this, or, you know, do this. It's put this in their mind, but also do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
And it's cool because you guys are kind of like the chef. Like, hey, just, you know, here you go. I need you to serve this way, but, like, do what you want with it. And it's always been, it's been a pleasure working here, because it's, I could be myself. You know, there's no one watching over my shoulder. Like, hey, what are you doing? What'd you say? Or what's going on? It was always, hey, do your job. Let's do it. And, you know, I find myself always smiling a lot and being happy around here. So, and I think that's a reflection off of you guys. It's like, hey, like, be happy. We work at a golf course. Let that settle in. You know, you don't have to go sit in a cubicle for 8 hours. We get to interact with the community. And that's one thing that I really do appreciate and want to, you know, keep that going is, hey, let the person be the person. Run with it and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so good. Golf is green grass and hot dogs, as we say. Yeah, it's on the back end, can it get complicated from the management side, but at that forward facing, it's golf. Golf is golf. Let people have fun, and let's help create an environment that allows for people to be themselves on the golf course, even if that's a little non-traditional. So, dude, Steak, you, also, we didn't talk about this. I've called him Steak. You've called him A1.
Oh, it's Steak for me, baby. It's steak
and
sauce.
Before we sign out of this segment with the Anthony Rodriguez in front of us, the AGM at Cocopelli Golf Course, which, for those of you listening, go play Cocopelli Golf Course. Such a fun track, crazy track. It's gonna affect your golf game,
because it's in the best shape it's been in for years. Yes. And I even ran the place, and it's still in so much better shape. So I am so thrilled for the progress that place has seen.
Yeah.
Armando's the general manager, friend of mine, going to be an amazing friend of Steak Sauce over here. So those two partnering up, it's going to be even better. It is so fun. Everyone has always loved the golf course. Yeah. Everyone has always always just wished it could be in a little bit better shape. And I can promise you it's in way better shape and good enough for you to go give it a try.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we're every course could get a little better, baby steps in Cocopelli, go play that track. But steak sauce, A1, how did this happen? I think I walked into the golf course one day and Kyle was like, yo, we're calling this guy Steak. And Anthony was like, all right, dude. Yeah, I guess we are. And from then on, every email, even in a professional setting, has been like, hey, this is A1, this is Steak, you know. How'd that happen?
I'll kick it off with my perspective, and then I think Steak can give more background on it. Sure. When we book a tee time, we'll put our initials on it. I mean, we are booking 300 golfers a day. Every 8 minutes, we're taking their phone number, their credit card, their email address. This is important information, someone's tee time. We want to be able to record who recorded that reservation. So if any questions arise, we can find the person responsible. When that's done at reservation, we put our initials in there. And going back, trying to find some question in serving my duties as general manager, I come across a tee time booked by A1. And I'm like, what is A1? I don't know. I have A1's a steak sauce working for me. Like, what is this? And I'm going from person to person to person. And finally, Anthony's like, oh, no, yeah, that's me. That's me. So Steak, give us a background. How did that happen?
Was that a typo?
No, not a typo.
Oh, you're just like, I'm A1.
Dog. I am A1. So me and my brother were working the shop same time. We had our GM. She asked me one day, hey, who made this tea time? It says AR. And me and my brother both AR. So I go, oh, that's him. She's like, oh, okay, let me, when's he in? I go, he's not in for another 2 days. She's like, okay. So she goes to him 2 days later. Hey, did you do this? And he goes, no, that's my brother. She's like, where is he? He's like, oh, he's off tomorrow. That happened, from what I've been told, a couple of times. So she's like, all right, cut it. What's middle name? Something else. Figure it out. And I was like, I'm A1. And I just said it right there. And she's like, okay, so then you're A2. And he goes, A2 it is.
A1,
so
A2.
When it comes to tee times, I nonchalantly always put A1 and have always done that. And without even thinking about it, I did it here. And when Kyle was like, who's this A1? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's me. Like nonchalantly just like, oh, shoot. No one knows this story about me and my brother. So, yeah, I mean, it went through A1 and he was A2. And I ran with that my entire golf career making tee times. A1, just boom, boom. Completely forgot that new property that my brother's not here.
There we go. Yeah. So the same reason why we book reservations and take initials, you were doing that at a golf course in California.
Yes,
and there
sir.
Were two ARs. So yeah, A1 it stuck. It just stayed right there. He's now steak sauce or A1 affectionately to everyone who knows him as an amazing golf professional.
Golf is a game of nicknames. And if you don't have a nickname, you're not golfing enough. That's all. That's what I gotta say. We our whole staff almost has nicknames. So A1 stuck, dude, and that's so awesome. Dude, I gotta say, proud of you, man. Excited for you. Don't be a stranger to the old podcast. This came naturally to you. Did you sense that? This is normal.
This was fun. Talker, I was like super nervous, honestly. Kyle came to me about 10 minutes ago. I was like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? I'm like, oh.
Let's be honest. It was more than a 10-minute heads up.
It was something like that.
He had at least like 30, maybe 40.
Yeah. Dude, but you're a golf professional, man. So through and through, thanks for repping it well. Thanks for repping Arcus Golf and being a part of the family. We're excited to see what happens in your
life.
Thank
you, man.
Yeah, man. You're going to go and kill it. Times will get hard. And I want to say one thing. I'll make it two. One, it's okay that times get hard. And two, you have everything within you to overcome any obstacle in front of you, right? Just take the time to identify how you can turn it from a roadblock into a speed bump. Right? You don't have to stop. Just go a little bit slower. You have two people here who love you and care about you, and we will be here to support you through your whole entire career, man. So go keep using golf to make the world a better place.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Honestly, yeah. Like I said, when I met Alex for the first time, I was like, this is going to be like, what is like, he's the AGM, super cool guy. Most genuine guy I've met. Then I met Kyle, man, you're the smartest guy I know. Jeez, dude. You're just
thank
smart.
You, buddy.
So when you talk, I'm like, what'd you say? Like, I got to listen to everything because you're just, you know everything, man. Like when we talk about small things, like it's always, you're like, did you know? I'm like, no, I didn't.
Yeah, sometimes it's not even about golf. It's like we're like talking about something else. You're like, well, yeah. And you like throw out some fact. Like, well, how do you know this?
Dude, he just knows everything. And it's, I'm not trying to say you know everything, but like, no, like you're a smart man. And
yeah,
I genuinely liked working. I loved working here, honestly. It was a great experience. I appreciate the opportunity that you guys gave me. I mean, I came here with no job and I was like, I'll figure it out. I'm a golfer. I'll figure something out. I don't know. Got a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. But I mean, once I met Alex, the ball started rolling and Kyle, boom, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate the opportunity that I had here and the squad that we have here. It's an awesome group. Yeah. It's an awesome group of guys, yeah. Group of people here.
You're welcome. You deserve it. And the best thing that you could possibly do in this life is make someone else feel the same way about you. And you have that ability, man. So go do it.
Yeah, that's go awesome. That's what I'm really, I love public golf, right? I mean, public golf is so fun because you're not just a golf course. You're part of the community.
Very true.
We are the community. Amen. And it's, you know, take pride in that and do what you can.
Amen. All right, man. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll play golf soon.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
How cool was that, man? Having Anthony chat about his experience here, sending him off to be, you know, an elevated position, a golf professional at a course down the road. How fun.
So much fun. So much fun. I mean, like quasi ex interview, you know, turned into a podcast, right? Using this platform to turn our exit interview questions into a deeper conversation. No, I mean, what a fun way to send steak sauce off onto his next adventure.
Yeah. And the golf world really is an interesting place to be passionate about golf, but also passionate about people and growing a business. And we get to do all that on this podcast, talk about people, talk about why we love the golf industry, talk about why we love golf at large and embracing the moment. So kudos to Anthony and what he's doing. But man, the greater golf world always has these amazing stories because there's amazing tournaments happening all the time. Last week on our episode, we chatted about the upcoming Ladies US Open. Just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought some really fun storylines to my attention. What's the girl's name that won?
Yuka Saso.
Yuka Saso. Yeah,
Yuka. She crushed it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Nerves of steel, right? So she went out there on Sunday. She shot 2 under. The ladies that she was playing with shot 2 over and 5 over, respectively. So she beat them by 4 and 7 shots on the last round of the on Sunday at the U.S. Open to win her second major. So kudos to her. Just a phenomenal showing for her to be able to conquer, you know, nerves, anxiety, the rest of the golfing field.
Dude.
So not just competition, but full speed of life coming at you on U.S. Open Sunday.
Yeah.
So for her to be able to rise to the top and knock off leaders who had been there the whole weekend. It was a fantastic win. So good for her. We had chatted about Lexi, you know, that this was a big one for her. She didn't make the cut.
I don't think Nelly did either.
No, our beloved Nelly, she didn't. But there's one thing that I can take away from her week. Everyone knows, well, not everyone, most people know, she shot a 10 on a par 3.
Yeah.
So a hole where it's supposed to take you 3 strokes. On a bad day, it's going to be 4. On your worst day of the week, it's 5. She took a 10.
And she had like 3 water shots, I think.
Right. So it's like at any moment, craziness can happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a lapse of mindset, if it's a breeze in the air, golf ball was laying down in the ground. And then it's all about how you respond to that. So no, unfortunately, her golf game couldn't come back from that. She shot like a 70, a 1 or 2 under par 70 the very next day.
She did.
Played unbelievably well. But that one hole was enough for her to keep her out of it. And she responds by posting pictures on Instagram of the weekend. And her caption just says, well, this week was a 10 out of 10. So what a great response, right? Turn this horrible situation, her worst golf of the year, into a little bit of a joke for all of these people who are following her and caring about her. So I thought that was a really cool response for her to respond that
it's
way.
It's so cool. And it's a reminder to embrace the moments. I mean, at the end of the day, score is score, and we are rooting for her. And it also humanizes us regular golfers that go out. You look back, you shoot 90. You're like, I almost could have shot in the 80s if it weren't for that one hole. How much more is she thinking? I could have made the cut if I would have just shot double bogey this day, you know, or whatever.
And if she just thought about that one hole, how is she going to think about herself as a golfer?
Totally.
And this is the greatest golfer in the world right now. I mean, her and Scotty are, you know, number one and two. I don't know who is better at the moment. So we'll just say one and two greatest golfers in the world.
Yeah.
And if she let that one moment in time or even that one day define who she was or how she was playing, it'd be really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, so she's going to be able to come right back out the next week or the week after and improve her score and just get right back to it.
Yeah.
So kudos to her and how she responded. And I hope that other people can see how she's responding it and taking it in stride and learn from that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, I want to talk about Pinehurst.
Yes.
Because this weekend, I already have some bets on some golfers. Me and you have a little friendly bet going on, but it's Pinehurst, brother.
Yeah. So it's the US Open. It is my second favorite tournament of the year. The Masters holds a special place in my heart in April. It's the only major tournament that is held at the same exact golf course every single year. So just this upper echelon in my heart and how I feel about it. But the US Open, this is our United States championship. It's open to anybody to qualify and play in, professional and amateur.
Yeah.
So there's been amazing stories, right? Francis Ouimet was an amateur who won the US Open. Sam Bennett was a US Open who played in, was a, an amateur who played incredibly well into the weekend a couple years ago. And this year we've got, you know, firefighters and high school teachers in the field that made it via local qualifying at golf courses that people play. And just like you and I run a golf course that the public can go to, that's Pinehurst.
That's Pinehurst,
and,
dude.
And you had the opportunity to chase the golf ball around and embrace the moments between the swings at where the champion golfers of the world are hosting this year's Coliseum at. Talk to me about it. I mean, the greatest venue in the golf world this year. You got to experience it last year.
Yeah, it was right before I was hired on here at Superstition. So I probably would have looked at it differently if I would have been working here. I would have looked at the conditions differently and the grasses, and I would have looked at the bunkers. And but dude, it was phenomenal. I walked onto the Pinehurst. I walked into the driveway, and you're like, this place is special. Something is different about this place. They had signs up promoting this year's US Open, and that was over a year ago. They were talking about renovations they were doing all over the course, all to prepare for this 4 days of golf, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I talked to a guy today, like, when's the last time you started planning for something over a year ago? It's like a vacation, maybe a wedding, but like, this is a deal. And dude, I just took it all in. It was like, I gotta chase the white ball around. I shot, I think, in the 90s, bro. And it's just like a moment I won't ever forget. And I saw all the signs of Payne Stewart. I saw the pictures of all the US Open champions. I took pictures with my dad. I think the coolest moment beyond just sitting at Pinehurst trying to take in the beauty of it all was I got to do it with my dad.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was texting him the other day, like, Dad, this weekend it's happening. You know, we were there over a year ago, played it, we're, you know, had the time of our lives.
And now you're reliving all of that and probably experiencing some of those emotions, some of the inspiration or peace, rejuvenation, relaxation, you name it, that was provided by that trip for you. You're experiencing that again, all because we're watching professional golfers play the same golf course you did.
Yeah.
Where else in sports does that exist, right? You and I don't get to shoot the shit or hang out over some drinks and talk about how we were shooting free throws at Madison Square Garden or how we're throwing passes at the Rose Bowl or
like that won't ever happen.
Tempe
dude.
Diablo Stadium, right?
Yeah.
No, but for you and I to sit down on Saturday while we're working and just peek at the TV and you're like, whoa, on that par three, I had 6 iron.
Yeah.
He's hitting a 9 iron. You know, just to be able to sit and put yourself in that same exact situation, that's what the game of golf provides, an opportunity for us, any golfer, you know, a professional, an amateur, a new golfer, to step into these coliseums that the greatest have ever played, these arenas where the greatest stories have ever been told, and you can go experience it and enjoy it. And so that's, I'm excited for you just to be able to, you know, see that. And that's also one of the reasons why I'm obsessed with the game of golf, because there's this environment where life's greatest moments are happening and we're embracing and cherishing these moments. And sometimes just watching people play that same golf course on TV is inspiring all of those moments of peace and joy all over again.
If I ever go play Pinehurst or a notable course like this, you know, Pebble Beach or something, I'll probably take a notepad out with me and be like, this is what club I hit. This is the next club I hit. This is what I got, so that I could follow along. Cause I can't quite remember what I did out there. You know, I was embracing the moments too much, you know, but, it's going to be fun to be able to relive this amazing golf.
Let's talk agronomically for a second, because you mentioned how over a year ago, they have signs everywhere about how the US Open's being played here in a year.
Yes.
Right. So you and I talk all the time about how what our golfer is experiencing today is a result of all the decisions that we've made over the last 30 days, 45 days, right? Because agronomically speaking, the growing of grass, the chemical composition of our soil on our golf course, we can't change that in a moment's notice, right? And ultimately, what I'm talking about is course conditions.
Yes.
And this facility, Pinehurst, not only do they own a plethora of golf courses, it's now upwards of like 10 courses, but number two, in order for it to be, you know, the United States Championship and up there in the greatest golf courses in the world, they start making decisions years in advance.
Yes.
Right? So can you give us any insight on what were some of the things that you were seeing? What are some of the agronomic practices? Is it locations that future sites are going to be? Or is it trying to keep you off of certain areas they know the pros are going to be?
So a year ago, it felt like we were allowed everywhere.
Okay.
That's what it felt like. But they had very clearly marked off areas of renovation, and every area that was being renovated or that we were not allowed to be on had signs everywhere. Like, this is because the US Open is coming. So it made a lot of sense. But it felt like the course at that time was pretty open for us to play. But I know just from our experience on this course, if we want to heal an area of grass and it's going to take a month, you know, they probably started roping off. They probably didn't let anyone on number two for 6 months, you know?
Yeah, it might not be that long of a period of time, but for the US Open, it's likely a lot longer than your regular golf tournament.
Totally.
Definitely.
Condition was beautiful. I mean, we've played courses together and we're like, everything was perfect.
Yeah.
They had small sand traps that were groomed beautifully. There wasn't a blade of grass out of place. All that was true of Pinehurst for sure. I felt like the maintenance crew, was 24/7 working around the clock. I mean, the condition was as good as Pinehurst could be. I don't know if there's a better time. I went last May. So I don't know if there's a better time to play Pinehurst than probably the US Open right now in June. So
yeah.
Condition was amazing.
We'll have to see. I think the casual golfer may be caught off guard this weekend, because the US Open is meant to be the ultimate challenge in golf, right? Testing your abilities. The green surfaces are going to be prepared so firm and so fast that they will be really pushed to, you know, the extremes of their health abilities.
Yeah.
So they may be dried out quite a bit. It won't be the most beautiful, luscious, greenest in the world. So it's going to be so nice to have the opportunity to see a golf course that is, you know, drying out a little bit, right? It's not using all of the water and fertilizers in the world for the grass to be perfect and lush from a visual standpoint. Mm. It's like, hey, we're okay with the golf course looking a couple shades lighter green with a little bit less moisture so that the golf ball rolls out.
Yep.
It adds some difficulty to it. So Pinehurst number two is going to be a learning opportunity for a lot of people because they might be like, wow, this golf course isn't as visually as appealing as some of the others that you've
seen
out,
yeah,
on tour. So something for us to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. You know, it's all Bermuda grass out there, which for those of you that don't know, Bermuda is our summer grass out here in Arizona. So I'm learning a lot specifically hands-on about Bermuda grass and how it grows and how to maintain it and to watch a Bermuda grass that has fully developed for the US Open is going to be pretty fun to watch. So
yeah.
Tune in with us. Enjoy it. We'll recap it all next week. So it's going to be a good time. I want to chat before kind of we close up shop here. The Canadian Open had a beautiful between the swings, yes, moment, dude, this past. So that was a week or so ago. But I think we came into the office the next day and you beelined straight into my office. And you were like, did you freaking see McIntyre won? And the moment he had with his dad, who's a local freaking greenskeeper,
yeah,
who's also his dad, who
back
celebrated
home
this
in
win.
Scotland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of research after seeing that he won. So he's been, Robert McIntyre has been having a very difficult time finding a long-term caddy. It's his first full year with status on the PGA Tour, and he's been struggling. He phoned his dad just the week before on a Saturday, gets on a plane and hops across the pond on Sunday. And he's like, look, I can chat with my dad about getting a number, right? A number's a number. He's going to be there to help keep me steady. And man, apparently that's what he was missing.
Needed, yeah.
Maybe it was some homesickness or just someone who knew how to help him embrace the moments between the swings or outside the
totally
competition of the tournament. And he was leading the tournament almost the entire time, played phenomenally on Sunday. And afterwards, you know, through tears, his dad's saying, I'm just a grass cutter. And Robert's like, no, you're not. You're a PGA Tour caddy.
Oh,
you know,
go,
so he has since gone back and cut some cups and mow the grass at his golf course in Scotland. But we'll have to see if that partnership continues. But just an amazing connection between life, relationships, and the game of golf. You have to be comfortable and confident in order to perform. And his dad was able to help him do that. So amazing story provided by the Canadian Open and Robert and his father, Mr. McIntyre.
Yeah, so cool, so cool. Well, I think we ought to wrap this episode up with a couple hot finds.
Hot finds, baby.
Because golf is not just about playing good. It's about looking good.
That's so true. And now it's all about expressing yourself. Not everyone has to look exactly the same, but it's like what you love, you get to celebrate.
Totally.
What are you celebrating? What do you got?
So I follow My Golf Spy on Instagram. And if you are a golf head or a golf nerd, you have to. I don't even put myself in the golf nerd category. I put myself in the, I'm interested in golf and want to keep up on the happenings of it all. And My Golf Spy is the one you have to, and they were the first ones to drop the TaylorMade partnership with Kith.
Oh, you saw the full drop there.
And
yes,
Jimmy Fallon.
So good.
It wasn't just a partnership between the two, but Jimmy Fallon was repping all of this stuff. And you said the most iconic line was he's immediately somebody I want to have in my foursome.
He gets an immediate invite. The vibe in that campaign, he gets an immediate invite into my foursome.
Totally.
I don't care what his golf background is. I don't care what his golf ability is. You bring that vibe and the stories that we know Jimmy Fallon can tell.
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. He looked amazing, had such a cool vibe. And yeah, I logged on after I drove to work. I normally leave at like 7:45.
Yeah.
Dropped at 8 o'clock our time. I log on 8:19, 8:20. Gone. Like
everything's gone.
Everything.
Yeah.
So waiting for a restock. I don't want to, you know, go on the resale market, but I'm with you. I'm with you. Jimmy Fallon was a vibe, and so much of that stuff was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Really cool. So, and I like the idea of being like, hey, who's your dream foursome of golf? People will be like, Tiger Woods. I want to play with Rory. And you're like, Jimmy Fallon, Justin Timberlake, and Tiger Woods. You know, that's probably my three right now.
Yeah. Just the people who are out there breaking barriers in the game of golf. I mean, let's throw DJ Khaled into the mix. Dude, right? So good. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's just the variety of golfers that play with all of these people we've just talked about.
I'm thinking Steph Curry, Austin Reeves from the Lakers. Okay, we can talk about that later. But what's your hot find?
My hot find, this is one that I thought was super cool. Callaway came out with their AI Smoke Tactical Series driver. Oof. Not only is the driver just one of the best performing drivers on the market right now, but they came out with one that's all like matte or flat tactical green color with its own special head cover.
And I think the picture you showed me was like green on green, like the shaft was green, the green grip on the club. It was.
Yeah, it's good.
Beautiful.
It's good. It's good. I immediately think of my brother, you know, he's in the army, or anybody else who serves. Like, if you're a golfer and also want to represent, you know, some other things that you love, this is it, man. So this good. Is it. So hot find of the week for me is the AI Smoke Tactical Driver. Go check that out. Yeah. It's pretty darn sweet. But no, we've got the U.S. Open, our national championship of golf this weekend. It normally lies on or around Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Celebrate and take your pops out for a round of golf.
Yeah. We sure do love talking golf with everybody. So thanks for listening in, and we'll see you on the next one.
We'll be with you soon, folks. Be well.